Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're beginning in verse 10, reading through verse 17. This is God's word. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Apart from the resurrection, this is the one miracle of Jesus that is in all 4 Gospels. Now, John tells us at the end of his gospel, Jesus did many other signs and wonders, many miracles. In fact, he says, if you tried to write all of them down, the world couldn't contain the books or the scrolls. Jesus did so much that was miraculous, so much more than we have recorded. And yet these things, John says in his gospel, have been written so that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that in him we might have life. So the purpose of all these things being recorded is that we would trust in Jesus. But this particular miracle is obviously very special. That's why it's memorialized on the wall behind me. That's why our school is St. Andrew's School, is because it was the Apostle Andrew who brought the little boy to Jesus who had the loaves and fish. You can read the account in all 4 Gospels, and you pick up various details in the various accounts. But Jesus had taken his disciples to this remote place in order to get some downtime. They had just returned from this trip where they went from village to village, town to town, preaching the kingdom and working miracles, and they come back. And Jesus says, "Let's get away. Let's have some quiet time." And so they travel to Bethsaida and go out from Bethsaida into the countryside. And when they get to their destination, crowds show up. There are multitudes of people. 5,000 men plus women and children show up in order to see what Jesus will do for them. And there were people who needed to be healed. They were sick, and Jesus healed them. But I want you to see the other phrase that describes what Jesus did for these people when they came. He welcomed them. He welcomed them. Do you ever hesitate to go to God in prayer because you aren't sure that it's okay to bother him again? Have you ever had this feeling that, you know, I messed up so many times and I don't know that I really want to talk to God right now? I've heard that from so many people. I don't feel worthy to come to God. Okay, well, you're not, but let's go anyway. None of us comes on the basis of our own worth. We come on the basis of his grace. Jesus had taken his disciples to go to this remote place, and when the crowd showed up, Jesus didn't say, oh goody, it's a crowd. I love crowds. Jesus loved people. Jesus loves you. And so when they showed up, he didn't say, sorry. On Monday, one of my friends who prays faithfully for me wrote and said, so when are you going to rest? And on Monday, I said, tomorrow is my day off, which he knows, but he's wanting to remind me. I said, tomorrow is my day off, and I plan to just have a day of rest. So last evening, he texted me, and he said, so did you rest today? And I said, well, about half the day. Because when I see that somebody's calling, I don't have somebody, it's my day off, here, screen the call, see if this is in any way work-related or might require me to turn on my ministry persona. I answer the phone, and somebody needed help. And I finished that call, and phone rang again, and it was somebody who needed my counsel. And so I dealt with that, and then dealt with some other stuff. Now, am I saying that to brag? No, I'm saying that the reason that I would do that is not because I'm just such a warm and loving person. It's because Jesus loves people. And because he lives in me, I'm willing to try and extend myself. And I told my friend, I'm going to take some time off tomorrow afternoon. That's this afternoon. But the thing is, Jesus welcomed these people. It doesn't say Jesus grudgingly gritted his teeth and said, okay, who needs healing? Line up here. That's not what happened. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Remember, that's what Jesus sent the apostles out proclaiming, was the kingdom of God. They were preaching the gospel, but they'd been sent out because the gospel, verse 2 of chapter 9, was to preach the kingdom. Jesus made it possible for people like us who have been rebels against the king to not only be forgiven, but made loyal subjects of the king. We were rebels. God says, don't eat the fruit of that tree. We say, looks good to me. That's the sinful human heart in our unregenerate state. We are at enmity against God until God changes our heart, takes away the heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh, takes the blinders off our eyes, and draws us to himself. Transfers us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Makes us new. When God does that, we're not just forgiven. We become a part of his kingdom. We gladly give our allegiance and our obedience to the one who is King of Kings.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers.
If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Jesus welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who needed healing. That's what's going on for hours. Well, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and they said, okay, this has been nice, great job once again, Jesus. We're, always impressed by how you do this. But now it's time to draw to an end. I mean, you need to send the crowd away. Remember, we came out here to be alone. And so you need to send them away so they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we certainly don't want to spend the night with these folks and there isn't anything for them to eat. So they need to go now. You've healed them. You've taught them. It's been great. But now let's send them away so they can get something to eat because there's no food truck out here. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. I'm sorry. What was that? You give them something to eat. It would take a year's wages, one of them replied. Check the other Gospels. It would take a year's wages for all of them to just get one bite. Okay? You really want us to do that? You want us to empty our savings in order to buy everybody just a bite of food? Is that the plan? I mean, surely you jest, Jesus. Well, how are we to give them something to eat? And Jesus had a plan. He said, see what you have. Andrew came back with the little boy saying, there's a little boy who's got 5 small loaves, 2 small fish, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, bring him to me. Jesus took a little boy's lunch and said, what am I supposed to do with this? Is that what he said? No. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for what he had. 5,000 men plus women and children. One little boy's lunch. 5 small loaves. 2 small fish. But Jesus gave thanks. And then, having given thanks, he began to break the loaves and the fish into pieces and give them to the disciples. And it was multiplied to feed everyone there. Okay, well, that's absolutely miraculous. Yeah, it is. And after they'd eaten, there was more left over than there was to start with. 12 baskets full of fragments. Wow. A true, amazing miracle. Yes. But there's another piece, one that we talked about last time, one that we will talk about many times to come. And that is the miracle took place in the context of obedience. Jesus didn't just multiply the food. He told his disciples, have the people sit down in groups of about 50. These people were about to get fed, but to be fed, they needed to be obedient. They needed to do what Jesus said through the apostles. Notice, Jesus didn't say, all right, listen, I want everybody to sit down in groups of about 50. Jesus told the apostles, and the apostles brought the word of the Lord, and the people, in order to receive the blessing of God and his provision of their need, the people needed to do what the apostles said was the word of the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see how that relates to us? There are people today who want the blessing of God on their lives. They want God to meet their needs, but they don't want to do what he says. They're not even interested in what he says. This book is God's word. If you want to be blessed, try doing what he says. Obey the apostolic word. Obey the word of the Lord. God spoke to us through his apostles. We have his word. Now learn it and obey it. What if I just learn it? Not enough. What if the apostles said, you need to sit down in groups of 50? The guy stands there and he says, okay, I got it. Thank you. Everybody, be sure you're seated. Sit down there in groups of 50. Say, I'll count. Okay, we got a group here. What does he need to do? Sit down. Why? Because Jesus said so. Well, I really feel I do better standing. I'm more comfortable that way. Jesus didn't say, do whatever feels comfortable. Jesus didn't say, get together in groups. Jesus said, sit down in groups of about 50. Can we have 48? Yeah, that's about 50. This is my family, and these are my friends, and we total 53 people here. That would be okay. It's about 50. We decided we'd like to have a larger group. You know, I don't like to be in a small group. It makes me feel too vulnerable. I like to be part of a big group, so I was thinking maybe we could do a group of a few hundred. Nope. Well, I mean, what about the group that just wants to be 15? Okay? We don't like those people. We're different. We like to have our own little group. And so we've gathered over here. Please be sure and include us when you're passing out the food. Are you in a group of about 50? No, we're not comfortable with that. I've always, large groups make me uncomfortable. When I was on Cape Cod, pastoring a church, we had the biggest Sunday we ever had was just under, as I recall, 400 people. And there were people who came to me, not just one person or three people. There were various people who came to me over the last year or two that we were there, our church having grown significantly. It quadrupled in size while we were there. These people came and they'd say, you know, Pastor Wood, I love your preaching and the music is tremendous, but I just don't think I could be comfortable in such a big group. I just can't feel comfortable in a church that's this large. And I'm looking at a congregation on Cape Cod that's smaller than my brother's Sunday school class in Boston. Okay? And I'm thinking, this is not a large church. Well, it is for Cape Cod. They didn't feel comfortable. I moved to Atlanta to pastor a church there where God called us. And there were people who came to me in the first year that I was there. And they said, you know, Pastor, I love your preaching, and the music is tremendous. That guy, David Carnes, man, I've never heard anybody who can play the piano like that. That is so amazing. But I don't think I could really be comfortable in a church that's this small. It was bigger than the one on Cape Cod, but it wasn't as big as some of the other churches in Atlanta. And these folks wanted to go to a place that had all the bells and whistles and programs for everybody, and they just didn't think they would really be satisfied in a church that was so small. It's not about what makes us comfortable. It's about what God leads us to do. What is God saying? If you don't know what God wants, seek him. He'll show you. But if you believe you know what God wants, and you say, yeah, I know he said don't eat the fruit of that tree, but it looks good. And this snake here says that it'll make me wise and that God wasn't telling me the truth. I can't really trust God. I need to do what I want to do in order to become more. Jesus told them, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. You think we can handle that? I mean, is that as hard as what Jesus told the disciples? Jesus told the disciples, you give them something to eat. They were asked to do something that was seemingly impossible. The crowd was just asked to do something that was very possible. Why do you suppose Jesus gave a tougher assignment to the apostles? Because they'd been with him longer. And they'd already seen him work miracles through their hands. They had gone out with no staff, no bag, no food, no change of clothes. And they'd done what Jesus said. And when they did, miracles happened. They came back and they reported to Jesus what had happened. What had happened was demons were cast out. People were healed. God was working miracles through them as they acted in obedience to Jesus. And now Jesus is about to do another huge miracle through them because Jesus is going to hand them some food to distribute to 5,000 men plus women and children. And after it was all done, Jesus told them, now you go gather up the leftovers.
Jesus, I don't really want to question your authority here. I mean, I'm not being rebellious, but it seems to me that if you can take five small loaves and two small fish and multiply it to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, we really don't need to be concerned about the scraps, do we? I mean, doesn't that seem a little ridiculous? I mean, if you can do that with a little boy's lunch, then why are we concerned about gathering up the leftovers? Let the people take those home. Jesus said, no, I want you to see this. I want you to do this. And so they did it. They obeyed, which is, as we've been emphasizing, the right thing to do. They obeyed. And when they went out with their baskets, each one with one basket, 12 apostles, 12 baskets full, they came back, each of them, more than they started out with before Jesus gave thanks and multiplied it. Do you understand that God can do anything? He'll never violate his own character. He'll never violate his own word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will abide forever. But if you're worried about how's this bill going to be paid, how's that going to happen, how's this going to... Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Your Father takes care of them. He'll take care of you.
Well, I really feel like I need this. God may look at it and say, actually, that would not be good for you.
Well, but I'm supposed to be able to ask and you're supposed to give.
God says, I'll give you what you need. I've seen God heal miraculously. And I've seen God take people home. I've seen God provide abundantly. And I've seen God provide just enough, just the right time to meet the need. God knows. And I'll tell you this, he's always faithful. And he works his miracles in the context of obedience. So seek him in his word and do what he says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.